Good morning, science. My name is Alexandra Magald, and today's guest is Jack Szostak, Nobel Prize laureate of 2009 and PI to Jennifer Doudna, herself a Nobel Prize laureate from last year. This podcast is about passion, and what better person to ask than someone who has already received the highest honor, someone who is in a position where they can basically do whatever they want, and someone who still does research, tackling amazing questions such as the origins of life itself. I am delighted to be able to talk to Jack Szostak today. When do you feel the best doing your work? What's the nicest part?
I think it's definitely talking to people in the lab when there's some, you know, new puzzle or new result or, you know, something exciting to think about. But that's definitely the best part of doing lab research, I think.
Yeah, so you've been able to tackle questions of enormous scope, and you also have probably amazing means. And I've just wondered, what are limitations that are getting on your nerves?
I don't think we have any of the sort of typical limitations. I mean, the thing that limits us from making progress is just coming up with new ideas, right? I mean, you just always have to be thinking about things. We have, you know, the lab is great. There's lots of smart people. They come from different backgrounds. We have all the sort of equipment and supplies we need, yeah, pretty much. But, you know, we're tackling, I think, a pretty challenging problem, you know, how life got started. So, the barriers are usually conceptual.
That's really interesting, because I saw your presentation at Seed and Synthetic Biology, and I also saw the three different questions that you like, and having gotten my PhD in neuroscience, of course, I love that. Oh, yeah. You care about the mind, and so I'm wondering if you were able to make a synthetic cell, how far you think that would translate into the question of mind and consciousness and things like this. And might we be able to fix creativity?
Oh, my God.
You know, might you be able to fix the own problem? Yeah.
I think, you know, for what we're trying to do is really understand how you go from chemistry to very simple biology. Mm-hmm. And so the real kind of hallmark of success, in my opinion, would be to get a system going that can start to evolve, like can really... Mm-hmm. You know, it can basically become more complex and more adapted to its environment through Darwinian evolution. And so that's not directly related to things at a much higher level, but I do think that evolution is the key to a lot of these, larger scale problems, and including the origin of the mind. I mean, it's something that evolved, and I think it's something where we need to pay more attention to our evolutionary ancestors and try to learn how the mind evolved, not just in one magic step, but, you know, in a series of steps that maybe someday we'll understand.
Yeah, as you mentioned, there might be several things going on in parallel that allowed life to get started.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I was thinking about limitations, and I wondered, maybe it's time. And so if you had a time machine and you could come back, I don't know, let's say 200 years, 1,000 years from now, what would be the first question you would look up? What would you Google? What's the thing you really want to know?
Really want to know?
Where would you like to skip ahead in the book and see what's going to happen?
So, of course, I guess the obvious thing is, you know, I'd want to see, like, you know, how did people figure out how to reconstruct the entire pathway from, you know, the beginnings of planet formation all the way through the evolution of complex life? But on the other hand, I wouldn't want to cheat that way, right? I mean, it's so much fun figuring it out. I wouldn't want to have someone just, like, hand me the answer.
That actually brings me to the next question, because I was wondering, I personally, I love the hunt, But of course, I only hunt because I want to know what the answer is. And so I wondered what parts you enjoy. And for example, you mentioned it. Who are people you really have your best ideas with? Who do you like to talk to?
Right. Well, I like to, you know, as I said before, I enjoy talking to the people in my lab because they're like, you know, doing the experiments to test ideas that we talk about all the time. But I also, the thing that I really love about this field is that it does have a very, very broad range, right? And so by talking to astronomers and planetary scientists and evolutionary biologists, you know, it's a great and highly motivating way to learn more about all of these subjects. And then sometimes, you know, you come up with new ideas by talking to someone with a very different perspective. And sometimes those conversations lead to unexpected collaborations, which can be really a lot of fun. One example, I've collaborated with a very close colleague for years now, who happens to be a professor of astronomy, and we had a kind of essentially a joint student. So, you know, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, would I ever think I'd have an astronomy student in my lab, I would have said that's ridiculous. But it actually ended up being an extremely productive collaboration.
That's amazing. How did you meet each other?
We both had an interest in how life got started. My colleague, more from the point of view at the time, I guess, of exoplanets and the question of, you know, is there life out there or only here? And me, of course, from the Earth-centered and laboratory experiments point of view, but it's definitely a shared interest. And we over the years have brought together, I think, a lot of people who share that interest, but coming from different starting points. So I think that's one of the things that makes the field look so much fun. Is you really get to stretch and learn a lot of new things.
Definitely. That's one of the things that I love here at the institute that I work at. We literally have actually astrophysics in the same building as bioengineering. And so you just meet the most amazing people in the elevator.
Are you in PME?
So? Yes. I love how interdisciplinary science has become.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, what field would you like for more people to actually join your group? Which field do you think is still not aware enough of how much potential there could be?
That's a little hard to say. I mean, over recent years, my lab's become much more chemistry oriented, for the problems that are our main focus right now, it's a lot of chemistry, to very different aspects of chemistry. But I can see coming up that we're going to need to know a lot more about kind of engineering approaches, I guess, you know, everything from microfluidics to, you know, designing reactors. You know, if we ever actually get to make protocells that can grow and divide, you know, basically machines or instruments to cultivate them. And so that's a challenge that'll be coming soon, I hope.
Yeah, I always wonder. So my mentor is a biochemist. And when I told him, oh no, I studied molecular medicine and now nobody knows what it is. And he said, no, don't worry. When I started, people said, what are you, biologist or a chemist? What do you want? And so I'm wondering, do you think there will be an interdisciplinary study course in the future that right now we just cannot see yet? That would kind of tackle what you're working on, you know?
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm definitely, you know, already, I mean, we've done some teaching here on origins and sort of courses that cover everything from the physics to the chemistry to the biology. And I think that kind of approach, I mean, it's kind of obvious for origins, but I think it's really important for molecular medicine as well. I mean,
yeah, you know. Absolutely. Well, it's complete. If you don't see this now, when then? So,
like, I don't know if you ever look at XKCD, right? But there are some good ones about the fact that we're traveling through time, right?
We do. Yes.
And the future is, you know, we'll be there soon enough.
I really appreciate it. I promised 5 minutes. I did my best to keep it short. This was phenomenal. Thank you so, so much. And I do hope that maybe sometime we'll meet each other in person.
Yeah, that would be great.